Good morning. The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 27. And if you've got that in the church Bible, it's page 1178. So that's Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you were going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, and not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Amen.
Thank you, Suzanne. So in the circumstances, just a brief word this morning from this very challenging passage in Philippians chapter 1 and 2. What am I doing putting that there? I'll put it over there. The trip we make every week, or nearly every week, from Derby to Glossop is a glorious run. I mean, there's no motorways, no conurbations, just glorious Derbyshire countryside. And the last bit particularly from, I can't remember the name of the village, begins with a C, coming into towards Glossop. Chinley, that's the word, Chinley. It is just magnificent. And yesterday it was about 4 o'clock, and on one side, on the east side of us, there were black, dark clouds. And on the west side there were clouds, but just peeping through the bottom of the clouds were the sun. Sun and rain. It was glorious. And as we came down into the blessed town of Glossop, there was a rainbow. And the rainbow was coming onto the parish of Whitfield, and onto the churches of St James and St Luke's. And there was a pot of gold. No, there wasn't. Yeah, there it is, a pot of gold. But I was just reminded again of the rainbow and God's promise to be faithful to his people and to his church. And the first part, actually, the bit that we didn't look at last week, and we're working through Philippians, but I asked Suzanne not to read this bit, talks about the gospel which is unstoppable. Paul says, I'm in prison, but it still goes on. There's no way you can stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that rainbow is just a promise that God will continue to further his gospel in our lives and through our church. Now, the subject this morning, really, which we're picking up at verse 27, very briefly, is about church unity, about being united in Christ. And Paul says there are two things. First of all, we need to stand in unity in the face of the world which opposes the gospel. And secondly, we need to stand, we need to walk, if you like, together in unity within the church as God's people. And the two things are closely linked. And the pivot which holds those two things together comes in chapter 2, verse 1, where he talks about we are united in Christ. So our unity is something that is given. Because we belong to Christ, we belong to one another. And the important thing is, says Paul, that you bring your thinking, your acting, your believing in line with your status. You are united. You must make yourselves, or you must become in every way united. We are united in Christ. I want to take the second bit first. That the fact that Paul calls us to walk together in unity within the church. And it comes first because we cannot stand in the world united if we are not united as God's people together in the church. And it's really quite frightening stuff. Just let me read it to you. Make my joy complete, he says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Oh, my goodness. Each of you should look not only to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's fairly basic stuff, isn't it? My goodness me. And you think of any gathered congregation, I'm not just thinking of this one, anywhere, the diversity of opinion is enormous. We've got different views about theology. We've got different views about how to worship. We've got different views about moral behavior and what is required of us. We've got different views about how we think leaders should operate in the church. We've got different personalities. We've got different attitudes to the thing that happened in the past. How can we be like-minded? Well, Paul says three or four things. He says, first of all, love. Your love of God will unite you and enable you to love one another. So the very foundation, as always, of our being together is the love which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which comes into us and flows out towards one another. And then he says you must be united in purpose. What unites us is that we have a common goal. Unity is not an end in itself. Unity is in order that we may together proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And so that the thing that holds us together and moves us forward is this common thing we have to make Christ known in the world. Back to church Sunday in a fortnight's time is part of that initiative that we have, that the desire we have to bring people into the body of Christ and to bring some, very often, people who do not know him, let alone those who have just strayed momentarily, to bring us together. And that focus on making Christ known in the parish and in our town and in our country and across the world is something which unites us. And then he says you need to be united in terms of your awareness of one another. This is where it just gets more and more difficult. Think of other people as better than yourself. Now, I often have that the other way around. I think of myself as better than others, I have to confess. And we mustn't. So imagine this. There is something about which I feel very strongly and convicted. And I say, that's because I'm a man of conviction. My neighbour thinks also very strongly about something, and I look at him and he says, well, you've always been cantankerous. Or something happens that hurts me, and I say, well, I'm hurt because I'm sensitive. And then something hurts my friend across the street, and I say, oh, well, she's always been a bit touchy. So quite naturally we think the best of ourselves and the worst of others. Now, that's a very simple and a silly thing, but that's how it is. So we need to be aware of one another, and we need to know that the person perhaps with whom we don't find it easy to get on is a child of God, bought by his precious blood, one who he has redeemed, and who is filled with his Spirit, if they are in Christ. And we need, therefore, to hold that together. So it's to do with loving one another. It's to do with a common purpose. It's to do with being aware that other people are important more than I am. And then it gets even more practical. It says, just work out how you can do things for the other person as well as for yourself. How can you look after their own interests? How can you rejoice that they are in good shape? I mean, another silly example, we belong to St. Werb's Church, St. Werbogue in Derby. It's an HDB plant. My son-in-law runs it. And we go now and again. And there are a lot of people there, a lot of people. Most of them are young, families, students. So there's a little gang that hang together, Sue and I and a few others, who are 40 years older than everyone else. And we're sort of protected minority, you know, a rare species. And so we'll get up and we'll sing a song, which to me is incomprehensible and unsingable. And I get cross. But then I look across, and over the other side, there's Rupert and Rhiannon, or whatever it would be, and they are away with the fairy. Well, not away with... That's the wrong thing to say about worship. But they're absolutely zoned out. They just love it. So I've got to look at them and say, I'm so pleased that you're enjoying this worship. It's a nightmare to me. But... And then now and again, very, very rarely, we get a hint of an old song, 1980s, Kendrick, you know, completely out of the ark. Or even sometimes Isaac Watts. And suddenly I come alive. And my hope is that Rupert and Rhiannon are saying, I'm so pleased for David and for Sue. Sue finds it more difficult than me. I shouldn't say that. But... talk about division. Worship divides people more than anything. But there's silly examples, but it may just root in your mind that Paul is being very down to earth. In a few verses on next week, he roots this in the most profound theology. Philippians chapter 2 verse, let this mind be in you as in Christ Jesus, thing about the incarnation. But first of all, he roots it in their daily life. And he says, look, you need to be united together in love. You need to walk together. You need to be like-minded, which doesn't mean all believing, acting the same way. That would be nice. We're not like walking in lockstep like a load of soldiers. It's more like an intricate dance in which we all have our part to play, and the final result is beautiful to behold. So that's the first thing. And then second, he says, because you are united together in the church, I want you now to stand strongly in the world for Christ. So verses 27 to 30 talk about our being standing, contending for the gospel. And we have to do that. And he says it will be hard. There will be opposition. You will suffer. Just as I am suffering in prison, you may not be suffering to that extent, says Paul. And in our day, in our generation here, we're not going to be thrown into prison, not at the moment anyway in our country, for our beliefs. But there will be suffering, there will be ostracism, there will be people thinking we're a bit peculiar, there will be people ignoring us, people pushing us away. But we live at a time of enormous uncertainty and tension in our country. We really do. It's very peculiar. There's a temptation always to say that the generation we live is worse than any other, and it's not. History is cyclical in that sense. But I believe there is something particularly going on in the ether at the moment, post-COVID, Ukraine. Everyone's striking, left, right and centre. There's discontent, there's uncertainty, there's tension, there's sickness. And you turn on the news, and last night, a random shooting in London. Yeah. Just going past, 6 people shot, a little girl fighting for her life, a guy beheaded in Iraq. And this is the world into which we have, as we can, proclaim Christ. And I want to say to you, be strong, and do it as you can, not as you can't. I always say that. We get very worried about evangelism. Oh, I don't know how to do it, and I couldn't go up to someone in the street. Well, no, you don't have to. Do it the way you can. I'm hopeless. Put me in a train carriage with another person, and how do I share my faith? I can witter it a bit in public, but that's the way I can do it. We do it as you can, not as you can't. And God will bless you. We stand strong. Though giant rains put out the sun, here stand I for a sign. Though earth be filled with waters dark, my cup is filled with wine. Tell to the trembling priests that here under the deluge run, one nameless, broken, tattered man stood up and drank to God. That's G.K. Chesterton. I don't really understand him. But I get the last verse. A nameless, tattered, broken man stood up and drank to God. Will you stand and drink to God in Whitfield in the days ahead? So, Paul is talking about unity. He's saying, be united in the church. For goodness sake, if we're at loggerheads in the church, there's no hope for the world. Now, we're not at loggerheads, are we?
No.
We love one another. But we've got to work out the details of it. And sometimes, you know, there are tensions. Of course, in every church there are tensions. And I'm not saying about this congregation. I mean, we love being here. It's great. But then we go away on Sunday and you get on with it. So I don't see you day to day. But we have a great sense of hope and purpose for this these congregations and this parish. Really do. So continue to be united in the nitty-gritty, in order that we may stand in the world. And the way forward is the Holy Spirit of God. It says in verse 27 that we are to stand in one spirit. Now, that means primarily the human spirit and how we are. But the commentators also say that there's a hint there of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, love one another in spirit. And again, and then in verse 1 it talks about the Holy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts will enable us to love one another and love the world. So I pray that afresh today we may be filled with the Spirit of God. Almost finished. One of the favourite places that we used to go when the children were small was we still go to Cornwall. It's North Cornwall, and there's a little place called Trebarwith Strand. And it's typical Cornish thing. You go off the main road, you go down a narrow road with high Cornish hedges on either side, and eventually you come to the bottom and there's a sea. You can't go any further, and you park your car and there is a sea. And Trebarwith Strand is marvellous. It's a very narrow inlet, rocks on either side, and the thing running down to the foreshore, I don't know what you call it, and then there's the sand, and then there's the sea. And we used to love to go there as the children. And at Trebarwith, the tide comes in very fast. So one minute, it's out there, and there are people on the sand. There are families playing, buckets and spades, all the rest of it. And suddenly the tide turns. And you've got to move very quickly, because it rushes in. So you grab a child, any child will do. Get them off the sand. Because before you know it, it's coming in, it's coming in, it's coming in. And it pounces off the rocks and it comes right up onto the foreshore. And then it goes out. And it takes with it all the rubbish that it's brought in. And it flows out. And you have pure sand ready for the next family invasion. In and out. O Christ, thou art within me like the sea, filling me as a slowly rising tide. No rock or stone or sandbar may abide, safe from thy coming and undrowned in thee. Thou dost not fill me with the might of storm, but with a calm upsurging in the deep. Thou shuttest me in thy eternal keep, where is no ebb, for fullness is thy norm. I pray that this morning for me and for you, the Holy Spirit may come like a tide into our lives, wash out all that is wrong, all that is sad, all that is fearful, all that is bruised, all that is broken, taking it out and filling us with his life, that we may live to his praise and glory for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand, we're going to have the peace. It's appropriate at this moment to say the peace together.